Amen. Baruch Adonai Mevarach Le'olam Vaad.
Good morning. Baruch Abba.
Morning. Welcome.
We have a cheer now.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to Morty from Philly. This is Morty, everyone. So, a very, very interesting piece, which captures some very central themes to Chassidus in this week's Ishbitz. Number one, there's a lot of wordplay in ways that are not classic etymology. There's a whole study of the Hebrew language in which words have certain meaning, and grammatically the words are broken down sometimes to three letters. There's a whole debate. In the medieval period, grammar was a much more important part of people's study than in today's world. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Ibn Ezra had raging debates about dikduk and nikud, and it's very far from our world. In the academic world, people study it, but in the Torah world, we don't have that much access to it. But in Chassidus, there's a whole separate system of etymology and Hebrew meanings, and doesn't have to stick to the classic meaning. Api Kabbalah, words can be inverted. Gematrios, letters have symbols. So playing with letters and words, and that's why I think a lot of non-Chassidim are a little unsettled and uncomfortable, because the whole definition of words and manipulation of words in Chassidus is not the classic definitions of Pipshat, but a lot is infused by Kabbalah, a lot is infused by the way letters strike, and this is a perfect example. When Moshe descends with the Luchos, it says the Luchos are written Mishnei Evraim. Now, it's very hard to write Luchos on both sides. Normally, you take a slab of stone and you engrave letters on that slab. What does that mean? Luchos Kesuvos Mishnei Evraim. On a simple level, it would mean that both sides had text. Maybe one could have read there's different text. Half the Aseret Dibros were on one side, half the Aseret Dibros were on the other side. You could have said that. Of course, our Chazal tells us that the Aseret Dibros were inscribed on one side, but they were written through and through. So the Dalet was written, and the entire depth of the stone was engraved with the Dalet. Luchos, Ksav B'Luchos B'nei Sayyomdim. But there's a Gemara in Shabbos, which takes a slightly different track. That the Shnei Evraim doesn't mean the two sides of the stone. Shnei Evraim means that the words could be reversed. That every word associated with the Luchos could be read backwards and forwards and provide meaning. And Rav Chisda provides three examples of words that could be inverted. So Shnei Evraim does not mean the two different surface areas of the tablets. It means the two different sequencing of the letter, Mishnei Evraim. And he picks three words that are associated with the Luchos. Now again, we don't really believe that these words were the Luchos, at least according to Pshat, because they don't appear in the Seretz Dibros. But Chazal tell us that, at least on the original Luchos, the entire Sefer Torah was written. Or certainly words that are associated with these Parshios. So even though these words that Rav Chisda chooses for inversion are not part of the Seretz Dibros, they were in the Luchos in some fashion, and it could be reversed, and that's what the Pasuk refers to, Shnei Evraim. So which three words does Rav Chisda choose? It seems like three random words. The word nivuv, which means it was hollow. Nivuv luchos means that the plates of the aron were hollow, because the inside was hollowed out. So nivuv. And nivuv could be read backwards. Who's good with letters? If you read nivuv backwards, what would it sound like? Buban. Beis vav, beis nun. Nivuv backwards is buban. Another word associated with the luchos was bahar. They were delivered at the har. What would happen if you read the word Bahar backwards? Rahav, a strange word. Another word associated with the Luchos is Saru, Saru Maher. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe down the mountain. Lech rei kishich asamcha, Saru Maher. If you invert Saru, what do you get? Veres, Vav Reish Samach. So it seems like Rav Huna is choosing three words. They don't seem to have much in common. And even more astonishingly, their inversions are gobbledygook. They don't mean anything. They're pretty crazy words. Nonsense. Buban, Rasu, Veres, Rahav. Rav Huna was, now what do they And if this were true, then the Gemara has very little meaning. So what? That you can read the words backwards. You can read my name backwards also. It would be something cacophonous and meaningless. And you change the words. So this is a time for the Meshilach to really dive deeply into what these words mean and find meaning for these inverted words. And ultimately his thesis is that reading a word forwards and backwards, anyone can do it. Take any text and read it backwards. It's iconic. It's symbolic that the Torah is transformative. If you want to change a trait you have, so you can work at it morally, you find people that have those types of traits, those are good ways to build your character. But the best way to build your character is Torah. Torah, by definition, is transformative. It can take a trait you have and invert it. It can take a letter and invert it. It can take a word and invert it. Torah has an inverting capacity. Torah is an inverter. And these are three examples of traits that if you read them the way the Torah writes them, they're powerful and good traits. But if you invert them, they could be negative traits or vice versa. So let's read them carefully. One is intellectual. The word nevuv means hollow. People that are intellectually hollow are empty, inane, vapid, no information. But if you take the word, if you study Torah, if you've torn the luchos, and you take the word nevuv, you can transform the word nevuv into buban. Now, buban means bina. Sounds like bina. Buvan, nevuv, beis, vav. You're taking the word nevuv from hollow and transforming it into a world that sounds a little more like bina. Buban, beis, vav, beis, nun, beis, yud, nun, hey. Sounds a little more like you're becoming someone who's hollow to someone that has bina, with wisdom and insight. Even more impressive, behar and rahav. Rahav, according to the Zohar, is the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim. That's in Shamayim cosmically. The deity of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are known for sexual promiscuity. And that sexual promiscuity was typified, at least visually, by the muddy, dark, black waters of the Nile. So the muddy, dark, black waters of the Nile represent dark, muddy, flesh-driven thoughts. What if you invert Rahav, that whole world of temptation and lust and muddy waters and the Egyptian idol? You get to Bahar. Bahar is transcendent, beyond, higher. Mountains are very dry. They're not muddy waters like in the Nile River, but they tend to be drier climates because we're up some of the mountain ranges in Chile. Right? They're a little, of course, they're going to be very humid in the winter, but they're certainly not these bogs and swamps that you imagine in Egypt. So by being inscribed on the Luchos, Torah has the capacity to transform Rahav, which is the Egyptian idol centered or pivoted within this promiscuous, sexually deranged society typified by black waters to Bahar. It's why Bahar Hashem Bi'erai, if you walk up the mountain and you separate yourself from temptation. So here you see Torah's transformative powers, not just intellectually to become someone from hollow to someone that has bina, but morally, someone who's Rav, who's subject to his Yetzirah, to become a Bahar. Then the third transformation that Rifuna chose is not just three random words that he chose. He chose these words carefully because each word characterizes a different character transformation. The word saru, okay, saru is a lashon of kas. He quotes a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, sar vazav. Again, these are word plays. It's not really, but sar and zav, if you take the word sar and the word saru, not in the strict, tight etymology of classic Tanakh reading, but in a more free and flexible association of words, letters, and Zohar. So Saru, Hashem tells Moshe, Saru, he's like saying, if you want to change the trait of Kas, of Sar, so learn Torah, and Torah will cleanse you from anger, and it will convert you from Saru into Veres, right? Saru inverted is Veres. Veres sounds like the word muras, mem vav resh samch, just veres is muras with the mem added to it. And muras sounds like, based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, softness, tender, delicate, sweet. What's a pasuk in Yechezkel? Larus es asolas, to soften barley. Barley can be very rough to eat. So if you want to soften it, you're mores, mem vav resh samch. So if you want to change your character, become a luchos, become someone with whom Torah is inscribed. And then saru, anger, will become muras. Rav, sexual temptation, will become behar, will become distance and transcendence. Nevov, hollowness, will become Buban, will become Bina. That's why Rav Huna chose those three words. That's what Chazal meant. The Luchos were written not on different surface areas of the Luchos, but different surface areas of human experience. You can become transformative through time. Okay? It shows the flexibility, some would call freewheeling style, of textual manipulation in the world of Chassidus, but certainly it also shows how Chassidus read Chazal with the same degree of precision that Chazal read Pesukim. Said Chazal read Pesukim carefully, every word of the Pasuk Hashem chose carefully. We read Gemara, since they're written by human beings, that they just chose three words. If Huna chose three words, not according to Meshulah. Why these three words? I'm going to darshan Rav Huna the same way Rav Huna darshan the pasuk, any pasuk in the Torah. Okay? Have a good day, everyone.